Hi, this is Matt Haig, and thank you for listening to Hanshin Tigers English News.
Hello out there, Hanshin Tigers English News H10 fans. This is episode 40 of our podcast. That's right, we turned 40. We are middle-aged. We are heading over the hill. I am T-Ray, and with me as co-host today is...
Good old Joe.
Thank you for coming out, Joe. How was your week, buddy?
Not too bad. It's just crazy hot here. It's the hottest it's been all year, so...
Well... We've had our share of heat here, but that's nothing new for us. It's you know, it doesn't really come in waves here. It's just always hot. So, anyways, we are on episode 40, Joe. So I figured I would introduce a couple of number 40s on the Hanshin Tigers in recent years. Currently, number 40 is Kazunari Tsuruoka, who is a catcher. He joined the Tigers in 2014, and he played for the Bay Stars before us. And before that, he was with the Giants for a while, and then he was actually originally a Bay Star as well. He was our most used catcher in 2015. He's really good with the pitchers, from what I hear, but he's terrible with the bat, and he's also really notorious for a lot of pass balls. So he has spent all of this year on the farm, and I bet he's going to retire after this year because, speaking of 40, he will be turning 40 next May. So I think he may follow in Fuji's footsteps from last year. I would say the best number 40 in team history would be a guy named Mike Reinbach, who played for the team in the 70s. He was one of our first really strong imports that we had, especially in the hitting department. And when he first came over, he really wasn't that good of a hitter, but he practiced harder than anybody. And even Kakefu, who's like, you know, the practice guru, commented that Reinbach practices more than anybody else. So pretty good stuff. You can catch the full story of Mike Reinbach on the H10 website. However, you have to be a subscriber. So, show me the money, folks. I'm just kidding. Sadly, Mr. Reinbach actually passed away in a car accident, when he was back in the States after about, it was maybe about 5 or 6 years after he moved back to the States, driving his car through the windy hills of Southern California. And, I guess he took a corner too fast or whatever, and his car went over the cliff and he died. So rest in peace, Mike Reinbach. All right, we are going to head into this show, and we're going to look at the week that was, Joe. So stick around, everybody. See you in a bit. So let's recap the action, as little as there may have been for us. The first series of the week was against the Giants, and it was at Koshien Stadium. And at this point in the season, before this series, the season series was 5 wins, 7 losses, and 1 tie. That's looking at it from the Hanshin perspective. And we won 5 out of 9 at Tokyo Dome, and we were 0-3-1 against them on home turf.
Yikes.
Yeah, not pretty. It doesn't get any prettier at this point. So the Monday, July 18th game, I was actually at that game. We recorded the last podcast episode Monday morning, my time. And by the way, I apologize for the sound of the cicadas in the background every time I was speaking. As you can hear now, there are no cicadas, so good on us. Anyways, about an hour after we recorded, I got contacted by my wife's uncle, and he said he had two spare tickets to the game. So we had a little family outing, and my two-year-old came with us. It was myself, my wife, and my two-year-old, and we had a great time, aside from the end of the game. Let's get right into it. So Randy Messenger was on the mound against Miles Michaelis, and Miles Michaelis was our kryptonite last year. And so it looked like it may be the same for us this time around. Take us through the first scoring play, if you don't mind.
Yeah, absolutely. So first three innings were clean on both sides, but then in the fourth, Hataguchi comes out with a runner on second and the count 1-1 and actually gets a double to left. So we get the first run in the game, and the base runner was Egoshi, who had a bunt to get on first with a big slide to grab first, and then he had a stolen base on the first pitch to get on to second. So he got into scoring position, and then Hataguchi brought him home. So we first in the game on a good, you know, base running and, you know, all around a good play. So
yeah, you know, Haraguchi's hit, actually, it looked like the wind might have carried it a little bit, and it was pretty close to actually making it all the way out. But
yeah,
like when it left his bat, I thought it was just a regular pop-up. But yeah, nicely done, thanks to the wind there a little bit. So anyways, Randy was clean through five innings. He allowed just one hit, but then in the sixth inning, he allowed a leadoff triple. Fortunately, he followed that up with two strikeouts, but then he induced a grounder to first, which was maybe a little bit hard to handle. Gomez kind of bobbled it, and then when he tried to throw it to Randy, who was covering first, the throw was a little bit high, so Randy's foot got down to the bag a little bit late. Runner was safe. It wasn't called an error, and the run scored, so tie game on that one in the top of the sixth.
It was definitely a close play, though. It was, yes, it was real close.
Yeah. I didn't get to see a replay because I was at the game, but I was really disappointed. I thought they had the play.
Watched it on the replay. It looked like a, you know, real close play. I think the I don't know. It was tough to see, but
yeah, all these things happen, I guess. Okay, so it was 1-1 heading into the top of the ninth inning. Randy went eight innings, and his night was over. But Dolis was coming in relief, and he allowed a leadoff single, and then they actually had a pinch runner come in, and the next guy grounded out to shortstop. Oh, did I say grounded out? No. Toritani actually, I don't know. Maybe he played it a little bit too soft. He certainly, I mean, he underhand tossed it to second base. And Nishioka was not, he didn't fully extend himself to get the ball as quick as possible. And so the runner was actually safe. So it's first and second with no outs.
Sorry, yeah, I don't know if you can call that on Nishioka, though. I mean, that was definitely a Toritani just playing the ball too slow. Lackadaisical effort there.
Yeah, for sure. And so now we've got guys on first and second, no outs. But I think it was one out later. So there's one out, same situation. And the guy on second base actually tries to go for third. I think he took too much of a jump. And Dolis actually started the rundown. But it was very poorly executed. And so we ended up getting the guy that was on first base. We got him out. And so it's two outs now with runner still on second base. And Shinnosuke Abe comes up to the plate. He is the Tigers' killer. He's not the best batter in the game anymore, but he's still pretty dangerous. And the first pitch that he saw, he ended up slashing through the left side of the infield, and the runner scored quite easily because it was a very slow-moving ball.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, you know, the left fielder had no chance of getting there and throwing it in time. So 2-1, and that's how the game ended. We lose this one, kind of a heartbreaker. And definitely, you look at some of the fielding plays that cost us. It was really unfortunate.
Yep. It just seems like our fielding is just, you know, maybe being a, you know, a 6 out of 10, there's just enough where it's starting to really hurt us. I mean, if you look at the Giants, their runs for and runs against, they're way behind in runs, runs for. They're pretty close to us as far as runs for and runs against, but they're second place in the league. And so, you know, it really is that little bit of difference in the fielding and getting the plays when you need to that I really think is hurting us this year.
Well, you know, that was the Hanshin Tigers last year. I mean, we had way fewer runs than we had runs scored, and we were really low in a lot of the offensive categories, and yet we were still, you know, near the top of the league for a good part of the season. Mm-hmm. So not too different there. But yeah, certainly, you know, the Giants maybe are playing a little bit better fundamental ball, and we definitely aren't. I mean, this has been the story of our season, really. How many games have we lost because of poor fielding, because of bad communication on the field? Players running into each other and not making the catch. Players not going for the catch on infield pop flies. And then this one, the underhanded toss. I mean, it just seems like it never ends. And they find a new way to mess up in the field.
That's true.
To allow the other team to win.
Hopefully there's not many more left.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's not many more ways left for them to do it. That's for sure. Yeah, you're right. So a couple of notes on this game. First of all, Gomez hit a double. I think it was he led off the bottom of the second. Is that right? Yeah. Yep. With a double. And then Takayama hit a single. This is with two outs. And Gomez was unable to score from second. He tried. He was thrown out at the plate.
Yeah.
And actually, I'm okay with him trying that. I mean, I wish he would have made it. I wish he had better wheels. Or I wish he'd gotten a better jump. But, you know, at least we can't say, man, he chickened out. Or, you know, why can't we score on singles from second?
Yeah, well, even if that's a 50-50 shot. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
It's worth a try. Especially, you know, against the Giants at home where we've been struggling to get that first, you know, run. Usually is a big momentum change. But it didn't happen.
Yeah, yeah. I thought maybe they should have at least tried to see if the collision rule could come into place. Try and get a little bit of retribution for the last time. But
now that they have the modified rules, right, unless there is a collision, they can't use the collision rule, right?
True. Yeah. Oh, well. Another one in this, Toritani struck out three times, twice looking, once swinging, and then he made one poor play in the field. So, you know, he's really off to a bad start in the week. And, you know, you just can't help but wonder how much longer can the team keep trotting him out there night in and night out. But we go on to Tuesday and Toritani's back in the lineup. In this one, we've got Atsushi Nomi on the mound. They've got Tetsuya Utsumi coming up. So let's go through the scoring. Actually, I think it's mostly going to be me here, buddy. Mm-hmm. Top of the second, Nomi started with two strikeouts, but then he allowed two singles and then an error by Hojo. Allowed things to continue, and an RBI double from their leadoff guy brought in two runs. And then in the top of the third, the hit parade continued. 10 batters came up to the plate total. They got two more two-run doubles, including another one by their leadoff guy. So that was it for Nomi. I don't think he didn't finish the third inning, but he allowed six runs, four of which were earned. And terrible deficit. Not looking good.
No. Doesn't. Then the only action we saw here was in the fifth inning, two outs, and there was a Hadaguchi back screen home run to get a single run, and that's all she wrote.
6-1 loss, and it's good that we hit a long ball. I mean, it you know. We don't see many of those these days, so that was kind of nice.
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, not a lot to cheer for. I guess Nishioka with three hits, but the bad thing is that the hitters behind him, the number 2 through number 5 hitters, went 0-13.
Yeah.
That includes Toritani 0-3 with a strikeout.
And a walk,
Includes, and also, a walk. He also, though, in his two times that he actually swung the bat, or made connection or whatever, one was a foul fly to catcher and the other was a grounder to pitcher, so he didn't get anything more than 60 feet past home plate. You know, but they'll still trot him out Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
Gomez also with three strikeouts in this one. So, you know, people are starting to make noise about Gomez and when is he going to get benched or when is he going to get farmed or whatever.
The one note I did have here was that in that second and third inning, all the Giants hits, it seemed like most of them were right up the foul line on the right side and the first base side. You know, they just the ball was just landing in the right spots to keep it going. So it was pretty impressive. At least all their, you know, most of their RBIs were right up the foul line. So it's really hard for Fukudome to get over there, you know, and so. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, sometimes literally baseball's a game of inches, and sometimes it's just that the ball lands inches fair or whatever, or inches away, you know, out of the outstretched glove or whatever. So, real unfortunate. I don't know. I mean, Nomi has his good and his bad. I actually did not watch this game, so I can't really comment on how he looked out there. But one other thing to note was that Seishiro Sakamoto, our second round pick, he was the catcher for Nomi until both of them got pulled at the same time in the third inning. that was his, I guess it was his debut behind the plate. Not a great debut, but certainly a learning experience for him.
Yeah.
The only bright spot, I guess, would be that the relievers went 6 1/3 innings clean in this one.
They were clean. Didn't.
So, yeah. Good on them. Yep.
Yeah, Mott's that's about it. 2 1/3, so it's pretty good stretch there. Only went 35 pitches, so it's not so bad there.
Yeah. Yeah, some bright spots, I guess. So it's good to look at bright spots when we've lost two straight. And, let's continue with the recap. So Wednesday, we bring Koyo Aoyagi to the mound, and they bring Kazuto Taguchi. And Taguchi got the better of us earlier in the year. Complete game shutout again, or not shutout, complete game victory against us at Koshien. So looking for revenge here. But top of the second, they score the first run of the game. When there was a grounder to first, Gomez fields it, throws it to second base, Toritani at second. Toritani threw it back to first to try and complete the double play, but it missed Aoyagi's glove. So the runner that was on second base scores. I think they charged the error to Aoyagi, but I'm not really sure who's to blame.
Yeah. So in the bottom of the second, Toritani got a double and then got all over to third base, and then Nishioka came up with two outs. And again, runner on third, and then a 2-1 count, and got a hit to left, just inside the foul line, and made it 1-1. But when the play was over, the camera pans over and Nishioka is laying down almost on top of first base.
Oh, heartbreak.
Yeah. And he looked like he was in a lot of pain. His face was grimacing pretty bad, and he really didn't move until they brought the stretcher out and carried him off.
Yeah, he actually fell before first base, and he was going around first base, and he actually, he was able to fortunately stick out his right leg and touch first base so that he, completed his hit, and was not, tagged out or anything. By the way, that was Nakatani with the double, not Toritani.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, no worries. So
yeah, that makes sense.
They're both valleys. turns out Nishioka has a fully torn Achilles tendon. And he will definitely be missing the rest of 2016 and possibly part of 2017. Some people questioned whether this would be the end of his career. And I hope not. But, man, talk about a guy that has had a tough string of luck as far as injuries go.
Can't catch a break.
I mean, you could say that he's injury prone. And, yeah, granted, some of this stuff is, injury proneness. But his collision with Fukudome, that's not a product of being injury prone. Achilles tendons are not, as far as I know, it's not really something that you can prevent in a sense. It just kind of, it happens, at the most untimely times. It's not like he didn't stretch enough or he didn't, round the base correctly or anything like that. So just bad luck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Anyway, so it's 1-1 now and stays that way until the sixth, but Aoyagi fell apart. He walked a guy, he allowed a hit, then he allowed an RBI single. And then he was pulled with two guys on base. And Takahashi came in to face Garrett Jones, a lefty versus lefty matchup. And once again, it did not work for us. Garrett Jones crushed it to the right field corner. Home run. And it's 5-1 now for the bad guys. Oof. And again, the wind has been taken out of our sails. Just to add a little bit of insult to the literal injury that we... had in the second inning. In the top of the ninth, Shimamoto's on the mound and he gave up a leadoff double and then a two out triple. So that scored another run. And then there was a bad throw to third base. And so the guy that hit the triple tried to score on that play, but he was thrown out at home, I believe, or he was thrown out. I don't know. He was out anyways. So that was the end of the game as far as the Giants bats go. But it's 6-1 at this point.
Yeah, bottom of the night, 6-1. I think we can do it, guys. Really? we bring Kano in as a pinch hitter. One out, 3-2, no runners on. And actually, he cranks one to left center field. And so it's about five rows up. So pretty good blast from Kano for a pinch hit.
Second
and
of the
so
year.
It's 6-2. It's like, man, we could have really used a pinch hit home run in a game that really mattered.
Yes.
We're going to waste it on this game.
Yeah,
but that was the end of it. 6-2. He actually had more hits than the Giants, but didn't really work out.
Well, and most of those came in the first five innings. We had a lot of blown opportunities. Haraguchi hit into a double play in the third inning, I believe it was, and then Hojo with our would you call it, our Achilles heel? Pardon the bad joke. But we had the bases loaded with one out, and Hojo comes up to the plate in the fifth inning and hits into a double play. That was the momentum changer right there, because it was still 1-1. Mm-hmm. That was a huge chance for us to take a lead. The very next inning, they broke out for 4 runs. So that's the series. We got swept. That means we're winless at home against the Giants this year still, 0-6-1. We also have a 7-game losing streak at Koshien. So that includes these three, and then a 3-game sweep against the Carp earlier, and then a loss to the Bay Stars at the end of June. So, yikes. Yeah, pretty ugly. So we get a day off Thursday, and the second series of the week starts Friday, and we head out to Hiroshima to face the Carp at Mazda Zoom Zoom Stadium.
Zoom Zoom.
What a cute name.
Yeah.
Anyways, so our record against the Carp this year, care to guess?
Ugh. Let's say what?
15 games.
Two and seven? How many games?
15 games.
15? Yeah. Let's say what? 3-12?
Pretty close. 4-11. We were 2-4 at Zoom Zoom and 2-7 at Koshien up to this point. So we go into Friday, and Shintaro Fujinami takes the mound against Yusuke Nomura. Nomura already has 11 wins, I think, on the season, and Fujinami is stinking it up. So I came into this one with very low expectations, and they were met. So the first inning, Fujinami was great. 8 pitches he got out. Second inning, he showed his typical 2016 self. Hit, blown, stolen base attempt, it was blown for us. Toditani didn't catch the throw. RBI hit, and the inning continued with another hit and a walk, but no further damage. And then in the bottom of the third, a leadoff triple was followed by an RBI single, so now it is
3-0.
Yeah, 3-0, sorry.
Yep. So, top of the fourth, Toditani comes up, 2 outs, Fukudome on third, at a 2-1 count, and hits it right up the right foul line for a double, and gets Fukudome in, and it's 3-1.
Okay, so now we're only 2 runs down, so it's looking a little bit better, but Fujinami strikes again with allowing a hit, a walk, a hit, bases loaded, a walk, run scores, 4-1.
Yeah, he looked pretty upset after that walk.
Yeah, actually, truth be told, I missed this one as well. I didn't catch a lot of baseball this week, but I'm not too sad about that.
Yeah, no kidding. It's a good week to miss.
Yeah.
So then in the seventh, Takayama comes up with 2 outs, runners on first and third, and an 0-2 count, and kind of takes a golf swing and chips it into left field right in front of the left fielder.
Nice.
And gets Toditani in for a run. So then it's 4-2, but that's all she wrote.
Yeah. We were not able to complete any form of a comeback here. In this one, Toditani also blew another stolen base. I think twice he failed to corral the throw from Umeno. So that's...
I had that in my notes. He dropped one that hit his glove and then one that just bounced right in front of him and caused him to completely miss it. So yeah. Two balls made it past him, but they were in his vicinity. And then I also had notes that Fukudome's fielding here, just it looked kind of atrocious to me. He kept, the last couple games even, he's just, the balls are getting around him. Yeah, they're hitting it towards the foul line, but he just, is bumbling balls, and it just had a minute there. I'm like, oh my God, that looks like Kanemoto out there, just really kind of not, the sharp fielding that you would like to see in the outfield, especially when, runners are making it around.
Right. And he's the one fielder that we've kind of been able to rely on to be steady, for the last, for this season. But, maybe his 39-year-old legs are catching up on him. Don't know. Maybe he caught like crappy fielding-itis from the other players. I'm not really sure.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't like their errors, but they're definitely, he just seems to be not being able to pick up balls like he should and throw them as far as he should. So it's just, it's getting there,
Right. Right. Well, I guess the good news in that department is that we do have a lot of young fielders that hopefully will be capable of taking more playing time from him next season, maybe even later this season.
As long as they can, as long as somebody can hit somewhat like him.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think given a couple of years, we'll have guys that can replace his bat and his fielding.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so a couple more notes on this one. I think Egoshi looked pretty lost at the plate once again. And then our relievers again came in and pitched two clean innings. We didn't need a ninth inning in this one. So Ando and Mateo each with a shutout inning. But what I saw in the ninth, sorry, I did catch the end of the game because I got home from where I was. It looked like, I felt like the ump was just trying to get out of there because his strikeout calls on the last two guys, it was like, just get me home. So I think they were both both strikeouts looking, and it just seemed like he was ready to just give the Carp the extra momentum that they needed and the advantage they needed, and just, call it a night, boys. All right, let's move on to Saturday, and I think we're going to recap this one real quick, Joe. We had Suguru Iwazaki on the mound, and they brought Hiroki Kuroda, former Carp, former Dodger, mm-hmm. former Yankee, and current Carp, looking for his 200th career win. And, this is his third or fourth attempt because he's been stuck on 199 for a while. But, everybody's going to do him the favors in this one. So in the first inning, Iwazaki walked two guys and then gave up a three-run home run to Luna. So it's 3-0 after one inning. In the bottom of the third inning then, he allowed a hit, an RBI triple. He plunked a guy, and then he allowed an RBI single to Takahiro Arai. And that was the end of his night after five runs, but he also left two guys on base. And Ryoma Matsuda did him the favor of letting them come in to score as well. So Iwazaki tagged with seven runs on two innings of work because he didn't record any outs in the third. So it's 7-0. My TV was turned off, by the way, when Iwazaki left the mound at 5-0. And apparently he injured his right leg. And I don't know. I don't think that's why they pulled him. But I was wondering if maybe his pride was located in his right leg and it got wounded or something. Like, I don't know. I don't know how that coincides. You know, like the injury and the crappy pitching. But 7-0 is how this one ended, right, Joe?
Yeah, I woke up and it was 7-0, so I didn't even take a peek at it.
Yeah.
So, when it's the fourth inning and it's 7-0, I'm like, man, just a great way to wake up and see that score and be like, nope, not paying attention to this one today.
Yeah, no way.
But I did have a note that the three out of the first four innings we had a leadoff hit. And no extra base hits, no multi-hit innings, just couldn't connect anything.
Congratulations, Kuroda. You picked the right team to go after, number 200. And we did you all the favors on the pitching end and the hitting end and maybe even the fielding end. I didn't really catch a lot of that, but a terrible display. The Tigers are 0-5 on the week right now. And that's a 5-game losing streak. That's no wins since the All-Star break. I thought Iwasada was coming to the mound on Sunday, and I thought to myself, man, the last time he faced them, he got absolutely bombarded. So look out, because it's coming again. But we brought Randy Messenger to the mound instead, and they did us a favor and brought Kyosuke Nakamura, who is definitely not one of their better pitchers. He's got to be their number 6, number 7, number 8, number 12 pitcher. He didn't last a long time in this one, but let's go through the scoring, shall we? And there's a lot, so bear with us here, folks. Randy actually allowed a run in the first inning. After two outs, he walked a guy, which is real unfortunate. Then he allowed a couple of hits to get that run in. 1-0 heading into the top of the second, Joe.
Top of the second. And we have Haraguchi coming up to lead off. And on a 1-1 count, cranks a homer to left field. Yes. So his second home run of the week,
yeah,
I believe. And so, yeah, that's looking good. And then Arai comes up after an out to get on a full count and cranks another home run to center field,
yes,
for a 2-1 lead. So Gyakuten home run. Not Gyakuten, I guess. It was tied. So, two home runs and three at-bats. I think we'll take it.
Yeah, and unfortunately, they actually pulled Nakamura before that second inning ended because we really could have stood to have had him in to beat up on him a little bit more. Just a couple notes real quick, mm-hmm, before we move forward. Fukudome actually almost hit one out in the first inning, to end the first inning. It was actually a pretty deep fly. And then actually Gomez's hit was actually quite well hit. It was a liner that just happened to be in the vicinity of their right fielder. So we were definitely getting the better of this kid. Yamato also hit a double, and so it was a good display of hitting from our boys, but they switched pitchers on us. Darn it. Anyways, let's go on with our scoring, Joe.
Yeah, so in the third, Gomez comes up with runners on first and second, 0-2 count, and gets a hit to third base to score another run, and that was Fukudome that came around to score. Mm-hmm. So,
did you see that
so
one,
we're
Joe?
Up. No, I did not.
Okay, I didn't either. I was busy with my son, but I heard it was kind of a weird hit, and I don't
had
know
to
exactly.
be if you're getting a hit to third base.
Yeah,
either had to be, you know, just far enough out, slow enough that, especially Gomez making it to first. So no offense, Gomez.
Well, but the runner scored from second, so yeah, so it must have been something a little bit more than that. But yeah. All right.
Okay, so
that's
and then,
that.
Go ahead.
Okay, so now it is 3-1 heading into the third inning, and I'm going to make the comment right here and now. Man, the umpires were definitely in the Carps' favor, and Randy walked Arai to load the bases with one out, and then Seiya Suzuki comes up to the plate, and it's a 3-1 count. Should have already been a strikeout. I mean, Randy threw a couple in there that... Do you guys know what I'm talking about, all you listeners out there, and you too, Joe? Like, when Randy's on the mound and when he gets those calls that are really questionable and he does that that chuckle or that laugh, you know what I mean, where he's just like, whatever, dude. That's what he was doing, like, all night, and especially in the third inning, and especially against Seiya Suzuki. And so the umpire really gave Suzuki, he gave him the hitter's count, and he forced Randy to pitch, you know, a really fat pitch. And so... that was that. Seiya Suzuki hit one into shallow left and scored two runs, so it's a tie 3-3. Fortunately, Randy calmed down and got out of the inning before any other damage was done.
And then in the fourth, with bases loaded, one out, a full count. Egoshi gets a sac fly to score Messenger, actually,
yeah.
who got a hit to get on base.
Yeah, actually, that was no outs when he did that. Yeah,
when Messenger got the hit, right?
I don't know. When Egoshi got the hit, it was, or when he hit the sac fly. That was the first out of the inning. But
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
But
zero outs. Yep.
No worries. That breaks the curse, though, of the bases loaded with no runs scoring thing, because actually earlier in the game, we had another situation where Yamato hit into a double play with the bases loaded. So it's just been really frustrating, really hard. But finally, Egoshi broke that curse, and then we'll see it comes into play again and again in this game, bases loaded situations. Anyhow, bottom of the fourth inning, the Carp said it's time for us to be the Carp again. And so leadoff double, sacrifice bunt, and then a hit to center field, tie game, and then another hit. So it's runners second and third, and just one out. And then a grounder to third base, and Ryota Arai booted it, so a run scored on that one. So the Carp take the lead 5-4. Poor Randy, you know. Actually, Kikuchi earlier in the game with an amazing piece of hitting. I mean, Randy threw it well out of the zone, and he got an RBI on that. And then there was a Seiya Suzuki, you know, let's give him the best hitter's count ever. And then, Ryota Arai boots one to allow another run. So, you know, Randy just did not have any luck in this game. So it's 5-4 now for the Carp.
Yep. We get into the sixth, and we actually have some good stuff going on, and we actually get the bases loaded with two outs.
Mm-hmm.
Hataguchi comes up with a 3-2 count and gets a hit to left and gets two runs in. So Gakuten this time, and it is now 5-6.
Yeah, it was a nice
Tigers leading.
It was a nice chopper. He didn't get the best connection on it, but he really hung in there in that one. Fouled off a bunch of pitches and chopped it over third base. It was a grounder that was just really high. So nice. Yeah. Anyways, please continue because the scoring continues here.
Yeah. So it was still two outs and bases loaded after Gomez gets an infield hit. Mm-hmm. Toritani comes up again, two outs. Count was 0-1 and gets a hit to second to score another runner. So it is now 7-5. Tigers.
Mm-hmm.
And then Yamato comes up and strikes out. That seems to continue pretty often
with the bases
loaded.
Yeah.
And then so in the eighth as well, Toritani comes up with bases loaded again, and gets a gets plunked and pushes a run in.
Yes.
On a 1-1 count. So we get a free run there, 8-5, and that would be all she wrote. And we actually get a win this week. Woohoo!
Yes, yes, the first win. By the way, Cano with the bases loaded right after Toritani's hit by pitch, big RBI, hits into a double play. So the bases loaded bad luck or bad hitting continues. Anyways. Yeah,
the pinch hit home run would have been nice there.
Yeah, you know, like we haven't had a grand slam in over 2 years as a team. So yeah, it definitely would have been nice. So the winning pitcher in this one, I believe, is Shimamoto, if I'm not mistaken.
Let's see.
Because Randy, I think, went 4 2/3, and then Shimamoto came in for the final 1/3. And then in the next inning, is when we took the lead for good. So yeah, yes. Shimamoto with the win.
Shimamoto pitching 1/3 of an inning.
Yes. Actually, one pitch. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I've seen that before. Kaneda, actually, a couple of years ago, got a win on one pitch. So and it happened again, but it doesn't happen too often. Anyways, yeah, really nice to see the Tigers' bats come to life. Again, the Carp didn't bring their best pitchers in this one. I'm glad we weren't facing Johnson or anybody else, really. So
anybody else.
Yeah, yeah. So actually, this was our first time scoring 8 runs in a game since May the 25th. So almost fully, almost fully 2 months. But that time actually we lost that one 9-8. So this is our first 8 run win in forever. But, we go 1-2 against the Carp, 1-5 on the week. We both predicted 3-3 weeks. So we were both way off. I will go ahead and step into a one series, prediction streak. Cause I predicted a 1-2 against the Carp. So
there you go.
There we go. Yeah. I mean, that's the only thing that I can really hang my hat on this week. All right.
Yeah.
Every week, one Tiger stands above the rest. He elevates his game to another level. He is the Player of the Week.
So, during this week of baseball, Joe, we scored 6 runs in the first 5 games of the week and then 8 in the final game of the week. How hard is it to pick a player of the week?
Well, you know, there was actually some decent hitting this week.
Okay.
to be honest with you. Uh-huh. So, I came up with a honorable mention to Takayama, who went 8-21 this week. So, batting .381, had an RBI, only had 3 strikeouts and got a stolen base. So that's good to see his bat come back around. Mm-hmm. But my actual player of the week is going to go to Haraguchi, with, let's see, 5 hits, but 5 RBIs.
Ooh.
So he was 5-15, so .333, and 2 home runs this week. So, definitely think that, you know, giving him a little bit more confidence, will build him back up and, you know, definitely bringing in the runs was a big help this week. So
yes, guy. Yeah. Yeah. So Takayama for the second week in a row goes 8-21, right? Cause I think that's what he did last week as well. He's back up to hitting, .278 on the year, which is great. But I'm actually right with you on the Gooch. Man, this is a guy that I remember he was batting. Oh, he batted .380 through May, and I was thinking, man, if he can stay at .300 on the year, we got something good. And he's still at .328, so he's still hitting the ball quite well. And yeah, you said,
definitely.
5 RBIs, 2 home runs. He was clutch today, and today was our only win of the week. So I'm gonna give it to him as well. I mean, he hit the home run that got us on the board, and then he hit the 2-run RBI single to give us the lead for good. So Gooch, you are the man. I would have given it to Randy, except that today he was a little bit shaky.
Yep. And absolutely, he was on my list until today, and I'm like, maybe not.
Yeah.
But if he only had one start this week, he would have had an honorable mention for me. But yeah, kind of had a little trouble today.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's nothing new for him against the Carp. He had a 15.12 ERA against them this year, heading into this game. Now it's gone down a little, but he went
gone down,
4 earned runs in 4 2/3, so still not a stellar outing, but You know, still, man, like I said, he was getting some poor calls. He was sweating buckets on the mound. It must have been a hot one in Hiroshima. And some of those early innings, man, they went forever. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, we could not wait to start this recording until the end of the game. It was going so long, and, you know, we're on a schedule here at H10, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hunching Tigers English. Hunching Tigers English. Hunching Tigers English. Topics.
So, Joe, a 1-5 week, a 5-game losing streak to start the week. Everybody was down on the Tigers, and with good reason. And so I was thinking, for the hot topic of the week, we need to look at some of the positives from this season, and maybe especially play of late, or maybe, you know, the season in total. But, you know, if we start to think about some of the positives that have gone on with the Hanshin Tigers, maybe it'll help us to be a little bit more accepting of our current state, which, by the way, is last place, 2.5 games behind the fifth place. Or is it 2 games behind the 5th place Dragons? I think that's what it is now, because the Dragons lost 3 straight. And we're 2 games behind the Dragons.
Okay.
So
I'll start out with the first positive.
Go for it.
We're not as bad as the Buffaloes. So we're not the worst in NPB.
Yes. And isn't it sad that the worst 2 teams in NPB, though, are both Kansai teams?
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, woe are we. Okay, no, that's a good one, because the Tigers are 38-52-3, and the Buffaloes are 33-53-0, so they're 20 games below 500. We are only 14 below 500.
Right.
That actually puts us ahead of the Saitama Seibu Lions as well, as far as winning percentage goes.
It's true.
And we are, I think, winning percentage-wise, we are actually a few ticks up on the Rakuten Eagles as well.
Wow, yeah.
So, man, we would be in 4th place in the Pacific. Ha,
yeah.
Ha, ha. Yeah, right. Okay. My first positive of the season is going to be looking at how many guys have gotten their first career hit this year. And I can't begin to name them, or I will begin to name them. I can't finish naming them, because there have just been so many. But, you know, that is just a testament to how much Kanemoto has been using the young guys and been unafraid to do so. So I'm actually going to start to list off some. And Joe, if you want to jump in and add some, go right ahead. But we're going to start Takayama, Yokota, Yokawa, Haraguchi. Tracking with me here? Sakamoto just got his first career hit this week. So good on him. Itayama is another one. I think Hojo as well.
Yeah. Nakatani?
Nakatani, I think, had a couple of hits earlier in his career. This is his sixth year with the with the team, but he hasn't gotten a lot of playing time. So his first career home run, his first career RBI. So those, again, like career firsts for these guys coming up. We also have some pitchers like Yokoyama, as well as Aoyagi got his first career hit actually earlier this week. I wanted to talk about that. He tried to lay down a sack bunt. It was 2 strikes, and so if this one goes foul, he's out. It was heading foul, and it hit a chunk of dirt and stayed fair. And that's his first career hit.
So. There you go.
But that's another positive. First career hit for Aoyagi for the Blue Goat, so good on him. Okay, any other positives, Joe?
All right, I think I'm going to go with the buried lead here, that the Iron Man streak is over.
Oh, there we go. We did not mention that in recaps, but yes.
Today was the day.
Yes, Toritani
did on
not
your calendars, ladies
start. July 24th, 2016, history was made.
It is over.
Yeah.
So I think you know, it's interesting to see that he got pulled today. I don't necessarily see what he did this week that was worse than prior weeks, but
yes,
maybe there were some conversations, you know, from the upper management to say, hey, look, you know, this season isn't shaping up to be what we'd hoped. Again, we're not too far out of, you know, a playoff position, but we're only.
But every time we say that,
6 games, it's getting
the gap
worse.
Is widening.
Yeah, but
yeah.
So maybe it's like, guys, you know, really let's let the kids play a little bit and really use the rest of the season as a building block for next year. So it's glad that camel's off the back, really.
Yeah, it's a consecutive innings. Or consecutive games playing full inning streak that's over, but he actually played in today's game, so his Iron Man streak technically continues.
It's true.
What was I going to say? Toritani, though, he was replaced today by Yamato. Yamato is the starting shortstop today.
Mm-hmm.
And we're gonna throw some trivia at you a little bit later on, so stick around for that. Here's another positive for you. Speaking of Toritani, he's got more walks on the season than he does strikeouts. 63-62. So wow. Good on him. Yeah.
Yeah, he's good at not swinging positive. The bat. Yeah. So yeah. I wonder how many of those strikeouts are watching it versus swinging.
I don't know. I just feel like there were too many times this week that he just let the lumber sit on his shoulder.
Yeah.
Yes.
So another positive, in my 8 years watching the Tigers, this could be the only year that we've finished in last. So it could be, and there's been more teams that have finished in last than we have in the last 8 years.
There you go. Well, and the season isn't over, so we can't say they're going to finish in last.
Right.
But yeah, if they do, you're right. You know, they haven't been in last or ended a season in last in a long time. So that's
yeah, they really haven't been sitting in last, as far as I can remember, for any extended amount of time, maybe a week or two at most. But so it's definitely interesting for me to see the team at the bottom of the barrel for a little while.
Absolutely. Yeah, it is a different feel for sure. Okay, yeah. My next positive for you.
Go ahead.
Sorry, did you have something to follow up on? Okay, my next positive is this. I really feel like the club is saving themselves a lot of money because with the dearth of home runs that we're hitting, there aren't that many souvenirs for the fans, which means that we're saving money on balls. So good for Hanshin Electric Railway.
Yes.
More money in the bank.
Yeah, and then I think they're saving money by having the games finish earlier because we're not scoring. So, you know, there's less electricity fees and, you know, all that kind of stuff. They're saving money all over the place.
They're actually saving our throats as well because we don't sing Roko Oroshi as much because we're not scoring as many runs. So, you know, that's a plus as well. Fewer sore throats means more healthy people in Kansai, means happier people in Kansai. Oh, wait, but we're losing, no. So maybe they're not so happy. Okay.
So I had my next positive that Wacky Tomoaki only debuted in the fourth month of the season. So it didn't start out real early in the season. So,
yeah.
You know, that's a positive. It took us 4 months to get to that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he did make some sketch calls along the way, but maybe nothing that would, you know, raise our eyebrows to the point of wanting to, you know, start a new corner on the show and actually discuss his foolish moves. But he definitely has had some of late. So, yeah, 4 months is a good stretch. Way to go, Tomoaki. That's a good streak. It's just too bad it came to an end. But as we know, all good streaks come to an end. On a more positive note... Wait, we're being nothing but positive here. Wait. No, on a more serious note, I guess, the bullpen of late has been really good. And I think that's a big positive for the team. This is a position that has been really troubling for the team in the past, quite honestly, year and a half. Even last year, we didn't have a good bullpen by any means. But we've really seen Mateo and Dolis tighten up. We've seen Fujikawa tighten up a lot as well. He's been a lot better.
Yeah.
And then even some of the other side guys have been coming along good. I mean, Matsuda has come in and, you know, he allowed two inherited runners to score this week, but he did better. Shimamoto with the win today on one pitch. I mean, how good is that? I mean, that's stud right there. But in all seriousness, I mean, he's been a little bit better since being called up again, just allowing one run this week. I think his ERA has gone down this week, so that's good too.
Yeah. No, so I have that before today's game, Messenger was fourth in the Central League in ERA. So, you know, that's pretty good on him.
I bet he was top in strikeouts, too.
I don't remember if I checked that or not. But so, yeah, he's definitely, you know, been stepping up to the plate as far as performance-wise on the pitching staff. I think that's been the standout so far. You know, Iwasada had his good start, but then kind of fell off the bandwagon there for a little bit. But my other positive that I had was Haraguchi himself. I mean, being able for Kanemoto to recognize him and bring him up, and his lively bat and his you know, learning of the catching, I really think it's definitely could get us, you know, into a more stable position with the catcher. So I think that's been a real big positive this year. I know everybody was looking to Takayama and Yokota to be that, you know, shining star this year on the bats, but you know, Haraguchi has really stepped up to the plate, literally and figuratively.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Sorry, just to branch back to Messenger, he was number two in the league in strikeouts heading into this one, and then he got He got five, so he took the lead from Sugano, unless Sugano pitched tonight. I'm not really sure if he did.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's another positive. Getting back to the lighter side of things, we have only had one damaged chair on record by Kanemoto. And that was when he kicked the chair back when, I think it was after Toritani failed to catch an easy fly ball. And then I think on a sack fly, he argued that the runner on third base left too soon.
Right.
And he got mad and kicked the chair. That's the only one this year. So he's keeping his cool, at least as far as damaging property. So that's good.
Kind of reminds me of Bobby Knight, the Indiana University basketball coach that famously threw his chair across the court. So
yeah, he's known for chairs too. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Here's another positive for you. I think that the bus, train, and taxi services are alive and well and healthy in the Nishinomiya area because, man, have we ever been lively between Naru Ohama and Koshien this year as far as calling guys from Nigun to Ichigun and back. Man, there's been a lot of public transportation used by the players, by coaches, by agents, stuff like that. So good on them for boosting the local economy in that respect.
Yeah, well, in seriousness, though, I think, you know, that was one of the goals of the year is to definitely, you know, really give everybody a fair shake. And, you know, that's been the case this year. And so we found some, you know, positives in that. You know, there's been some flubs and some goods and bads, but you know, maybe we're not winning as much as we'd hope, but, you know, at least we can have, you know, a good trial on players that aren't necessarily getting time in the first team.
Sure. So the exception that I would say to that is that I don't think that we've given Matt Haig a fair shake.
Agreed.
You know, I won't go into a lot of detail, but I just feel like, you know, he hasn't really gotten a solid amount of time to really adjust. You know, this week there were rumors that the Tigers were looking to sign Alex Guerrero, who is in the LA Dodgers or was in the LA Dodgers organization. However, all that I've heard about him is he hits really well, but he fields very poorly. And how is that any better than anything that we've got? Well, okay, hits very well is a big change, but
right.
You know, with the foreign players, it's always a question mark. I mean, when they come out here, success in America does not equate success in Japan by any means. And I mean, I just don't think adding an eighth foreigner is going to do any good. And it's definitely, you know, if there is truth to this and if they do sign him, it's definitely sending a message to Haig. You know, because Guerrero, according to the article I read, can play third base.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, we got Haig and Gomez and Guerrero then that can play the corner infield positions, you know.
Yeah.
There's not enough room in town for all three of them, I'll say that much.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see what they do with Gomez. His bat recently has been kind of standard Gomez, you know, not. But his RBI count has really fallen off. He lost the lead in RBIs in the league about a month ago. And so be interesting to see if they give him a break for a little bit and see what Haig can do for a week. I think that might be a fair shake, you know.
Yeah. Gomez is down to seventh in the league in RBIs. So he has fallen quite a bit off the mark. You know, of course, the two leaders are no surprise. It's Tetsuto Yamada, who has 29 home runs and 74 RBIs. And then number three on the list is Yoshitomo Tsutsugo, who has 66 RBI heading into yesterday's action or today's action. And he has 28 home runs. He has hit, I think it's 10 home runs on the month. And I think he had three straight games with two home runs.
Right.
This
week. Mm-hmm.
So, it would be nice to have a bat like his, but maybe in a couple years' time. You know, I don't want to jinx us or anything, but we do have some pretty big Japanese bats on the farm. Yokawa, Yokota, even Egoshi. These are guys that have the potential of being big, you know, power guys for us.
Right.
And I think, speaking of positives, and this will be my last one, and it's kind of rehashing what we've said, but Kanemoto has used the young guys, and they need experience at Ichigun in order to get good. And part of experience means learning from failure. And this is a year that's what they got to do. Learn from failure. You know, there's no way around it. They're not going to come up here and be instant superstars. Otherwise, you know, Wada would have recognized the talent and brought them up, you know? So, I think that's definitely something that we can look forward to in the future. And thank you, Kanemoto, for not being afraid to use these guys, despite all the criticism you're getting. And we could criticize you to no end on this show too, but at least for today, we're choosing not to.
Yeah, I agree. Everything's been an up and down season so far. But if we have to chalk it up to a learning season, then if that gets us in the playoffs next year, it'll be worth it.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So, and obviously the playoffs aren't the end goal. It's pennants, it's Nippon-ichi championships and so on. But, I think that if we can keep using these guys and get them better, get them experience, we're on the road towards that.
Yeah, agreed. Like I said, next year, I'd say next year a goal would be the playoffs. Maybe not the pennant, but right. At least make the playoffs. The Carp seem pretty solid, and I'm not really sure on how much they have coming back next year, but... right. There's usually not too many changes on a team like that that's going to cause them to go, first to last, but right. It happens.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. It could happen to the Swallows this year.
For yeah. Record.
Yeah. All right. Well, Joe, I think we are going to try to stay positive. I'm not really sure. Let's look at the week to come and see how the Tigers are going to do. Let's look into the old crystal ball here.
Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 prediction. See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 prediction.
Yeah, we're hosting the Swallows for three to start the week.
And hosting.
And then we've got the Dragons for three to finish the week. This is the Urutora no Natsu, Ultra Summer for the Tigers. We host six before we head off on the road so the high schoolers can come to Koshien and take it over for most of August. So this is our last big homestand. And we're going up against the newly fourth place Swallows, who have just won three straight against the newly positioned fifth place Chunichi Dragons.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a hot team and a cold team that we're going to be hosting. What do you think?
I am going to go with a 3-3. I'm going to call 2-3 against the Dragons, 2 out of 3 against the Dragons. And then 1 out of 3 against the Swallows. So.
Okay.
Do I have that backwards, though?
Well, you have the order backwards, the order backwards, but that's okay.
Yeah.
You can
so we're
choose
go
what you want.
1 and 2, and then 2 and 1.
Nope.
Nope.
Nope. We are going to go 4 and 2 on the week.
Wow. Whoa.
Yes. Yes.
Our first 4 win of the year, huh? What?
Yes, it's going to be the first of the year because it is a special week. We're going up against weak teams. We are at home, and I'm going to 2 games, and I'm tired of seeing us lose, so we're going to win those 2 games.
All right.
And besides that, we're going to win 2 more. So I'm going to actually I'm going to say that we are going to win 2 in each.
All right.
We're not going to have a huge win streak, but we are going to win 4 out of 6, and it's going to give us a little bit of a positive end to July,
mm-hmm.
and get us into our big road trip on a good note.
All right.
That's my call.
Sounds good. Let's see
and
it happen.
You can take it or leave it.
At least the bats showed up to start the end of this last, end of today. So then hopefully they stay like that for the rest of the week. So
that's right. Yeah. The bats have come to life, and granted we faced inferior pitching, but inferior pitching is all that the Swallows are about. So it could be a fun series there. Let's see how that goes. All right, Joe. Well, it has been a pleasure to have you on the show for this hour. And actually, before we leave you folks, I've got a proposal for you. Okay. I've got 2 prizes. This is episode 40. It's a commemorative episode, so we can't do it without prizes. I'm going to give a prize to somebody local who can attend Friday's game. I've got an extra ticket. So if you can come on Friday, I want to treat you to the game. All you got to do is you've got to answer this trivia question. How many consecutive games did Takashi Toritani play every inning of before his streak ended today, Sunday, July 24th?
Does that include a plane ticket? Because I can answer that.
No, flights not included. Train tickets not included. Right. And then the second half, actually, and this is for other people, and sorry, co-hosts are not allowed to win prizes. Sorry. I actually have a 2014 limited edition Urutora no Natsu jersey to give away. It is brand new. And this can go to anybody, whether local or not, who can answer this question. Takashi Toritani, he started this streak long, long ago. I'm not going to give up the date because that's going to clue people into how many games. But a long time ago, he started this streak. He played every inning of every game at shortstop. So who was the last guy to play shortstop at the start of Toritani's streak? That's the question for the jersey. So to answer these, I would like you to actually email me the answers. Simply because if you put them on Twitter, if you put them on Facebook, then answers are out there for other people to see. And if your answer is wrong, it gives people hints. Send me an email, podcast@thehanshintigers.com. podcast@thehanshintigers.com. That's it. Answer either of those questions for the prize, and I look forward to being able to sit with one of you at a baseball game later this week.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Well, I hope it is a lot of fun, and I hope that we win. Anyways, everybody out there, have a great week. Joe, enjoy your week, and everyone, let's have fun watching baseball.
Go Tigers.
ありがとうって今は言わせて